So we're on our way now, yeah? We're entering into the four ways of establishing mindfulness, yeah? And, this is what the four Satipatthanas are, yeah? And I'll just keep repeating myself because I think it's helpful to hear things again and again, yeah? The four Satipatthanas are four ways of establishing mindfulness. Yeah? We turn to areas, four particular areas of our experience. Yeah? So they're four areas we become aware of. And this, in the sutta, we have the practitioner, finds a place, sets herself up, and then establishes mindfulness in front of her. So this is kind of the active bit, yeah, this turning towards, and then you're just there. Yeah? And again, as if by magic, we had this wonderful poem again this morning about just being at the center, something like this. Yeah, this is it. This is it. Nowhere else, it's nothing else, this is it. Yeah. And you might like to start paying attention to the, what does mindfulness feel like in the mind? When the mind is mindful, what does it feel like? Yeah. What is this experience of being mindful? Yeah. We've talked about being present, yeah, being receptive, yeah, relaxed and alert. And for me, there's another factor that comes in here, and it's then I'm connected. Yeah, it's about connection. Yeah, I'm connected to my breath. I'm connected to my body. I'm not somewhere else. Yeah, I am connected. So it's just be there. And, you know, sometimes I think we could call these retreats the M&M retreat, yeah? The mindfulness and metta retreat, leading to connection, yeah? Which then leads us to clearer seeing. Mm-hmm. And Sharon Salzberg has a lovely, pithy statement, which is being fully present with your experience is an act of love. So this is where the practices come together. It's not, oh, I'm more a metta person or I'm more a mindfulness person. Yeah? Being fully present with your experience, yeah, is an act of love. Yeah? Your experience is worth it. You are worth it. So yesterday we looked at the first way of establishing mindfulness. Yes, mindfulness needs something to turn to. So you turn to your body because it's what you've got. Yeah. And the body is our basis for engaging with life, we heard yesterday. Yeah. And how do we do that? How do we engage with life through the six senses? Yeah. Through seeing, hearing, touching, yeah, smelling, tasting, and through the mind. And mostly one of these can be in the foreground. Yeah, when we're thinking, the mind sense is more in the foreground. We're reflecting on something or we're ruminating about something. When you're eating, well, if you're present, usually tasting is in the foreground. Yeah, and you look at the beautiful trees, it's seeing. Usually one of them kind of comes into the foreground. Mm-hmm. And with mind, the mind sense, you know, it is thinking and it's your emotions, it's your mood. Yeah. So what happens here is, because we've got these senses, this is what we are equipped with. Well, we somehow get this body. Yeah. We've got the senses, and then through our senses, we make contact. Yeah? We make contact with ourselves, with the world, with others. Through our mind, through our physical senses. This is like the live connection. When contact happens, yeah? When contact takes place, something happens. Something comes alive. Like it's an on switch, if you like, or a live wire. And what happens? Sensations arise. Yeah? You experience something. So I'm going to ask you to put your pens down and take both your hands. And just put your fingers together and become aware of the sensation of touch. Tips of your fingers touching. What is the actual felt sensation? What are you experiencing there? Any offers? Heat? Pressure? Pulse? Softness? Sorry? Tingling? Take them apart. No sensation between the fingers. Put them together again. Yeah. So it's as simple as this. Here is sensation. Yeah. Okay. Sorry? But not the sensation of the fingers touching. There's, of course, they don't suddenly become numb and dead. There is some sensation continuing, but we've like changed the situation. Yeah. Yes, you're right. And it's the same thing then when we're breathing, there are sensations of breathing. What have you discovered there? In your meditation or right now? What are the sensations, the felt experience of breathing? Movement. Okay. Can we go below that? What kinds of movement? How does the movement communicate itself to you? What is the sensation? What do you feel?
Heaving.
Sorry?
Heaving.
Heaving. What's heaving? Okay. Heaving. Okay. That's going up and down, is it? Okay. All right. Anything else?
Expansion and contraction.
Yeah. You expand. You're actually experiencing expanding. Yeah. You're experiencing. Yes, yeah. I thought so. Yeah. I only know heaving from this throwing up. Wouldn't have associated it with the movements of the breath, but yeah. So this is what we're moving in closer to. This actual, you might feel stretch in the skin. Yeah. It's part of the breathing experience. Yeah. Kind of release. Yeah. Relaxation, contraction. Sorry?
The temperature of the air.
Yes, yeah, exactly, It's really interesting to pay attention to the temperature of when the air enters the body, the air we then somehow call breath, just because it's in our body, and the air when it leaves the body, what's the temperature? And these are things to get curious about, find out. Yeah? No one else can give you the answer to this or tell you. And if they did, it wouldn't be of any value. Your discovery is what counts. Mm. And we have, similarly, when we're in meditation when we're moving about, but particularly in meditation, there might be sensations of pain in the body, yeah, like in your knee, some kind of stabbing or burning or pulling. Yeah. And this is what we're working with. This is what we are mindful of when we're in the body. And I want to introduce to you to a little method here. It's a very simple method, some of you might know it, that can help us to recognize, to identify in the sense of seeing what's there and just acknowledging it. And this is the method of noting or labeling. Yeah? So like we just did it. You put your fingers together and you just said tingling. Yeah. Or you might in meditation notice the sensations of breathing and you just say expanding, stretching, heaving. Yeah. Whatever it is that you're experiencing, you just label it. And what you're labeling often is the process. Yeah. Sometimes you label just like warm, cold, yeah, heavy, stiff. It's getting as close as you can to the actual felt experience. And what's happening right now. And it's a very different thing from saying just, you feel this pulling in your knee and you note pulling, pulling. It's very different than saying, I've got this pulling in my knee. Yeah, that's the first line of the story of your prapancha. And I had it yesterday as well, and I don't know what's going to become of this. Maybe I shouldn't be sitting like this anymore. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That's just opening up for distraction. Maybe you do need to think sensibly about changing your posture, but not in this moment. So you just label it. Pulling, pulling, stinging, stinging, tingling, tingling, whatever it is, warm, warm. And the traditional way to do it is to you say it twice. And, yeah, I mean, try it out. For me, there's a difference. If I say it just once, I'm easily distracted again, more easily, let's say. And this double label, yeah, it's worth playing with, playing around with. Give it a go. And what we're doing here, we're taking out the me, I, mine. So a very simple body contemplation can here become an insight practice. Yeah? It's simply tingling, causes and conditions coming together. I don't own it, it's not me, it's not mine. Yeah? Yes, there is a use of concepts. In Satipatthana, in early Buddhism, concepts are fine, but it's a minimal use of concepts in the service of the practice. We're not trying to go beyond thinking or concepts. We're using concepts to help us get closer to the experience. It's different. Well, the danger is if you start thinking about the experience, if you don't just stay with the label, yeah. This label is it's a way of unhooking from the experience. This is all we're using it for, but we need a concept here. And you're using your mind. The thing is we have a mind, so we can apply it. It's not about getting rid of thinking and all I am is experience. It's not what it's about here. So with a label, you recognize, you acknowledge, and you unhook. So this label brings in some degree of distance to the actual experience. And that's where I can stop, where I get out of the danger, Shraddhamani, yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah? With this unhooking, yeah, I've got a chance not to enter into proliferation, prapancha, rumination, commenting, and then I'm just drowning. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point of this, the unhooking. It creates a, just a second, it creates a space for you. Yeah, just a bit of a space. Mm-hmm. And it's a very gentle, soft note. Yeah, it's sort of in the background. It's and it's not about getting the precise word. Now, is this tingling or is it prickling? I'm not quite sure about this. Probably it's more of a prickle, because then we are in thinking. Yeah. So it's a minimum use of concepts to help us get closer to experience. Pema Chodron says, I thought I knew it off by heart, but I don't quite. Yeah. Wait a minute. Can I see the truth of this moment without it having to mean something about me? Yeah. This is it. This is the point. Yeah? Can I see the truth of this moment? The truth is there is tingling. There is thinking. Yeah? There is sadness. That is the truth of the moment, without it having to mean something about me, always in reference to me. That's the crux. Leslie, did you have a question? Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to contact. This is as far as we've got so far. Yeah, we're still with our body and contact. And so we've got these sensations. We've established that well. Mm-hmm. Now, these sensations, yeah, also have another dimension. They have an affective tonality. Yeah. Or a hedonic tone. In other words, feeling. Yeah. Every experience has a hedonic tone, a tonality. Mm. The feeling tone. Yeah. It's often shortened to feelings. That can be tricky because we use feelings to mean emotions. This is the affective tone, the tonality. Mm. Wait a second, it's coming. Yeah. Every moment of experience in all the senses, and we've established there are five physical senses and a mind sense. So including the mind, every moment of experience in these senses, yeah, there is this tonality, the texture of the experience. Yeah. So thinking has tonality. Some thoughts are unpleasant. Yeah. Some thoughts are pleasant. Yeah. Emotions. Yeah. The feeling aspect of emotion is the effective tonality, the tone, effective tone, the hedonic tone. Yeah.
Hedonic as in hedonistic.
Yeah, it's what you feel. It's the yes. Yeah. So the tonality of joy is pleasant, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tonality of anger. How does it feel? It's unpleasant. Yeah. So nothing is accepted from here, from this. So this is moving on then to the second way of establishing mindfulness. We turn to the feeling tone of our experience. This is the second satipatthana vedana. Yeah. So it's another area that I can be aware of. Yeah. Is what I'm experiencing pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Mm-hmm.
With anger, for example, anger can be unpleasant, but it's not as simple as that, because there can be a sense of energy there as well, which isn't altogether unpleasant.
That's true. That's true. It's not simple. In a way, especially with emotions. I mean, this is not to deny. Emotions are complex and they're rich. And we're not denying any of that. But we're just becoming aware of the flavour of it. And it changes. Yeah. So it might be initially, ooh, yeah, but then it changes. Well, the energy of it feels different. And practicing with Vedana has the power to simplify and often reduce suffering. So it's a way of stepping out of the complexity and just asking yourself, what does this feel like? Yeah. And you come back to basics then. Yeah. Rather than getting hooked in to all the implications, the complexity of, say, the emotion, and who did it, and whose fault is it, and what shall I do now, and when I see her again, yeah, come back. God, this is unpleasant. This is unpleasant. Yeah. And it's like, cut. You know, it's like the producer's, director's cut. Yeah. Let's do that scene again. Yeah. It cuts the reactivity, you could say. So let's look again then at what Vedana consists of. Yeah. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Taking a simple example of, say, the pain in the knee, I'm moving closer. The sensation is, say, stabbing or burning or pulling. And the feeling tone of that is unpleasant. That's all you need to do, really, yeah, if you're aware of that. Pleasant, unpleasant are pretty clear. Neutral is kind of somewhere in between. Yeah, can't decide. Couldn't say it's pleasant, couldn't say it's unpleasant. But it's not that there's a vacuum. Yeah. I sense into, say, my left arm, there's something there that tells me my arm is there. So there is some kind of Vedana. It's not pleasant, it's not unpleasant. Now, this can be the area of neutral, undecided, not able to say, yeah, undefined. That's neutral Vedana. Mm. I'll say a bit more about working with that in a minute. So we're working here with our raw experience in order to change the way we relate to our experience. Yeah. And Vedana is immediate. It's not under our control. It's not something we choose or we intend to. Yeah. Because of past conditioning, because of karma. This is karma vipaka. Yeah. The result is this body experiences this particular sensation as unpleasant. Someone else might experience it as pleasant. Yeah. But that's to do with them, what they've brought with them. Yeah. So it's about transforming deep habits of our mind and heart. So Vedana is a kind of, it's a link into freeing the mind. It's a vital link, you know, which you know about. Mm-hmm. It's this vital gap between what our actual experience is, and what we then put into motion by the way we respond to that experience or react to that experience. So there is something that's unpleasant. Yeah. The way I react to that, the way I respond to that, the way I deal with that, will start something, set something off in motion, which is we call our life. You know, this is the story of the second arrow. The first arrow, there's no escaping. It's painful. Yeah. If somebody is really, let's say, really, really, really nasty to me, yeah, that's painful. Yeah. It's unpleasant. It's unpleasant. But the way I deal with that, yeah, I have this. This is this point of choice. Yeah. Do I get angry about it? Do I hold on to it? Do I retaliate? And so on and so forth. Yeah. And if we have no awareness of this area of our experience, the conditioned responses will arise. Yeah. And the conditioned responses are that pleasant Vedana determines wanting, craving, desire, clinging. Attachment. Yeah. Unpleasant Vedana determines pushing away, aversion. Yeah. That is the natural course if we're not aware. Yeah. Neutral Vedana determines vagueness and clarity, not knowing what's going on. So, I don't know. Yeah. Cutting off, disconnecting. So how can we stop shooting this second arrow into ourselves? Yeah. By becoming aware of Vedana. Yeah. This is the gap on the wheel of life. Yeah. This is the point of choice, the point of freedom. There are many descriptions for this. Bhante at different times has had different descriptions. At some point he called it the battlefield of spiritual life. Yeah. And there's another description of it being the moment of creative responsiveness. It's a bit more appealing, yeah. Well, yeah. but this is where practice takes place. And by the way, this is why it's very useful to be aware of your body. Yeah, because it gives us a lot of opportunities to practice Vedana. Mm-hmm. So the practice itself is quite simple, clear, direct. Just a clear recognition of the feeling tone. Yeah. Let it be seen with awareness. Ah, this is unpleasant. This is pleasant. Don't know what this is. Full stop. That's it. Yeah. And Vedana, or feeling, I'll call them feelings, but you know what I mean now. Yeah, this is just the short form. No, I'll stay by feeling tone. It's less dangerous. Feeling tone of experience are messengers of impermanence. And this is what you were saying, Viryanaya. Yeah. They change so quickly. When you're eating something, the first bit of chocolate, oh, so pleasant, you know, and the sixth bit of chocolate is starting to change, maybe, latest then. Yeah. So we see and we experience the transitory nature of phenomena. Yeah, they don't stay the same. And that means we can be less identified with them. Less attached to the pleasant ones, hoping they'll bring us lasting happiness, and when they've stopped, trying to get them again, more or different ones. Main thing is it's pleasant, because that's going to keep me happy, yeah, it's going to satisfy me. And less fearful of unpleasant ones, yeah, which leads us into fighting, resisting, struggling, tensing against life, yeah. Or we try to replace unpleasant by pleasant, thinking that's the solution. I can just get rid of all this unpleasant stuff, then I'll have pleasant, and then I'll be happy. Yeah, this is what the Buddha called delusion. And neutral, being aware of neutral, is really, really interesting. This helps us be less dependent on big, intense experiences. Yeah. Sometimes, in order to feel alive, we think we've got to have really strong experiences. Then I'm alive. Yeah. it's not so. It's not so. We start to appreciate more subtle experiences, quieter experiences, even when apparently nothing's happening. Yeah, there can be some degree of alive. You feel alive because you're connected. This is Ajahn Chah. You remember yesterday the refrain, the bottom line is, the bottom line of the practice, not clinging, not clinging. Yeah. So we're checking again and again, yeah, is this practice helping me not to cling? Yeah. The more we see, the less we cling. The less we cling, the less we suffer. If we don't cling, whatever arises is naturally freed. If we don't cling, whatever arises is naturally freed. That means we're more aligned to reality then. Arising, passing, and we're not fighting against it. We're not holding on to it. We're able to go with it. Yeah? At peace, at ease, confident in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. But people cling for a reason, don't they?
Sure they do.
Because they want to move on and they're alone. They want something from something.
Yeah, they do. And the question is this really of help or not? No, but that is why in the sutta we have worldly and unworldly Vedana. Yeah. I'll talk a bit more about this tomorrow, but the Buddha differentiates between two, let's say, categories of Vedana. So there's the worldly, and your point is relevant here, Aleph. Worldly Vedana arises in contact with senses, and it's all about satisfying the senses. Yeah, yeah. I cling because I want to be happier, but the things I cling to are not going to make me happy. Yeah, my comfort, my sense pleasure. Yeah, they're not going to do it in the long run. Yeah, they might do it for a while. Yeah? These are experiences dependent on, yeah, seeing nice things, yeah, hearing nice things that satisfy me, yeah, or getting rid of the ones that I don't, that don't satisfy me. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, all the things where I think it's going to help me be happier, or to get rid of them will help me get happier. I am dependent then on sense pleasure. This is what's meant by worldly Vedana. The unworldly Vedana is the pleasure, the joy that arises from Dharma practice. Yeah? From a mind that is calm. Yeah? From mind and body that are to some degree at ease. I'll talk more about this tomorrow, but just so that we get the full picture. Yeah? This is where we're turning our mind and heart to what is wholesome. Yeah? What is ultimately fulfilling. Yeah? Deeply, deeply satisfying. Yeah? That is, it has this sense of onward leading. It's liberating. Yeah? And then we wouldn't talk about clinging there. There is desire, but this is desire for truth. Yeah, this is Dharma Chanda. Yeah, it's not about getting rid of your desire, but what are you placing it on? Yeah. So these are, I think, as Vijayamala calls them, the seeds of release here, in unworldly Vedana. Yeah. This satisfaction. Yeah. This joy. Even this unpleasant experience has some seed of release in it. So the unworldly Vedana means not being addicted to sense pleasure. Yeah. But I have discovered, we have discovered another source of pleasure. Yeah. In friendship, you could say, in ethic, our practice of ethics, in deep heart-to-heart communication, in meditation. Yeah. Could I leave that to?
Sit somewhere between
Okay. Okay, I'll leave Vedana there for now. Yeah, we're going to go into some practice in a little while, unless there are any questions now of clarification. Yeah, we're not done with it completely, but have you got a sense of what you're going to be paying attention to? Yeah.
When it's something physical in your body, like your knee hurts, and that pain normally has a reason, or you've got a toothache, you've got to go to the dentist. But when it's with emotions, I'm sort of playing with sort of feeling I'm feeling this unpleasant emotion. But then when you get down to the raw experience and the sensations in your body, it's only me that's deciding whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. It's actually
It might be neither one or the other. It depends on the emotion. It depends on the experience. When you get to the level of raw experience, that's where Vedana is. Mm-hmm. Vedana is not, oh, there are causes and reasons for this, and it's okay, it's understandable to have a pain in my knee. That's not Vedana. Mm-hmm. Yeah? That's what's going on in the mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vedana is the direct felt tonality. Oh, unpleasant. That's all. Mm-hmm. And it's just the same with emotions. Whatever emotion is there, yeah, if you really allow yourself to feel it, often you don't even need to do that. It's immediate. Yeah. Sadness comes up. The tonality of that is unpleasant. But we must be careful, unpleasant doesn't mean bad. Yeah? So this is what we often hear. Bad, shouldn't be there, done something wrong. That is not what unpleasant means. And pleasant doesn't mean good. Yeah? It means what it says. The felt sensation of this is like, oh, you know, it's just this, oh. Or, oh. That's all. And all the rest, causes and conditions, the explanations, what I need to do with it, how I need to work with it, that comes on top of that. Yeah. And, you know, I'm aware I'm slowing us down, which is a bit, that's not how life is, because it all comes crowding in. But so that we can get some clarity around what it means to practice with these different areas of our experience. And, you know, towards the end of the retreat, we'll be opening up to it all. But then we've got these tools with us to be able to meet these different areas. Next, life doesn't come in an orderly fashion, one after the other.
Sometimes I will think something that that's one of those particular things that came to mind. I was thinking about the person who was a half, and a particular aspect which